Welcome to More Life Now, the radio outreach dedicated to helping you receive more of the abundant life God has given us. Today, Keith Moore is teaching from the Word of God, a message from the series, The Greatest Faith. Stay tuned, because at the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving you information on how you can download a free copy of today's teaching. And now, Brother Moore.
In Luke 19, verse 2, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief among the publicans. Now, the publicans were the tax collectors, and they were hated. Oh, they were hated. You know, a lot of folks are not too fond of even our IRS today. But these guys took it to another level now. Yeah. They, whatever they said you owed, is what you owed. And it didn't make any difference if it was true or not. And crooks, a lot of these guys wanted this position because you could absolutely get rich. You just double what Rome said they owed and you pocket the excess. And you can see why they're hated. Because if you owed $20,000, then the publican, the tax collector would say, no, you owe $35,000. He said, no, no. He said, yeah. And the soldiers would look at you. And you go, right, 35. But then he would pocket the extra. He'd pay Rome what you owed and he'd pocket. So they were hated. And he was chief among the publicans. So he was really hated. And he was rich. Yeah, he was rich. And verse 3. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. He couldn't for the press and because he was little of stature. He wasn't very tall. Verse 4, he ran before, got ahead of him, climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And all our kids know this song, don't they? Yes. Verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down. For today, I've got to stay at your house. And verse 6, he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Everybody say joyfully. Joyfully. Now, one of the reasons I wanted you to see this is because of the contrast. The rich young ruler went away sad. Here's another rich man who's glad. He's joyful. Why is he so excited that Jesus is coming to his house? I'm sure one reason is he never imagined Jesus would come to his house. Because he's not a high priest. He's not a scribe. He's not a doctor of the law. He's not what you'd imagine as a moral and a religious man. He's hated by the common people. And so the fact that Jesus would say publicly, in front of everybody, I'm going to your house today. Oh man, he scrambled down. He hardly contained himself. He's running to the house. Everybody say joyfully, joyfully, joyfully. And verse 7, when they saw it, they all murmured. They said, he's gone to be a guest with the man that's a sinner. Can't believe he's going to Zacchaeus' house. Does he not know what a crook that guy is? Does he not know what he did to me, what he did to my auntie, and what he did to my grandpa? Oh, he's a sorry so-and-so. And Jesus is gone to stay at his house. Why did he come to my house? You know, because I'm a good person. That's why. He didn't go to your house because you think you deserve it. See, we're right back there. Verse 8. So here Jesus is. And how many think Zacchaeus has pulled out the good dishes? And I mean, he's rich. So man, he's got the best roast. He's got the best biscuits. He's got everything. You know, he's got the, you know, grandma's potato salad. He's putting it on. And then he stands up and says, Lord, the half of my goods I am given to the poor. The Lord didn't ask him to do that. Why is he doing that? He is so happy that Jesus knows who he is.
Yes.
And would come to his house. And Jesus said, Oh no, Zacchaeus, all.
No.
You must give it all. Just like I told that rich young ruler, you know, a while back. You got to do it all.
No.
Half. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, and all the people around said, that's right.
Yeah. Right.
He said, I'm going to restore him four times what I took from him. And then everybody changed. They said, what?
Yeah.
Don't forget me. You know what you did to me four times. So your 10,000 that you just got robbed has turned into 40 grand.
Yeah.
And so everybody's happy now.
Yeah.
I restore him fourfold. Verse 9, Jesus said to him, he didn't say, no, you got to give it all. He said, today salvation's come to this house. For as much as he's a son of Abraham, said out loud,
it's about
the heart.
Not the money.
It's not about the money. It's never about the money. It's about the heart. The heart. Go back then to Mark 10. Mark 10, 21, Jesus looked at the rich young ruler. He loved him. He said, one thing you lack. Well, that's not bad, is it? One thing. Of course, it was a big thing to him, but go your way, sell what you have, give to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven. Come take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad. He's not rejoicing. He's sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now, I know I've said it, but it bears repetition. Sadness and grief reveals unbelief. And disobedience. Whereas joy and gladness and thankfulness reveals faith, a faith that follows him. The Lord gave me this phrase some years ago, doubt despairs, complains, and is sad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. We'll see that in numerous verses. You'll see that over in Romans 15 and different places. I want to say it again. Doubt does what?
Despairs.
So if you're despairing, you're not believing. Doubt despairs. What else does it do? Complains. Don't say you're in faith and you're complaining about it all the time. You're not. And is what?
Sad.
One of the worst witnesses is a sad Christian.
Yeah.
It's a contradiction in terminology.
Yeah.
Christian is a Christian. Christ means anointed.
Yeah.
And he was anointed with the oil of gladness and joy, right?
Yeah.
Above everybody around him. And if you're one of them, then you're that shouting bunch. You're the praising bunch. You the believing bunch, you the obeying God bunch, the glad bunch. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Don't you let yourself slump into depression and grief and sadness. You never have to do this. No matter how bad it is, you can look up and trust God. And if you do, it'll change your countenance. It'll change the way you talk. It'll change the way you are responding and reacting, acting and reacting. Jesus, verse 23, looked round about and said to his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And verse 24, and the disciples were astonished at his words. They thought, what? Why? Because all of them thought being blessed and being rich goes together.
Right.
Abraham was rich.
That's right.
Right? They're all seed of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And rich should be an indication of God's blessing.
Yes.
It can be. It's not always. We don't know how you got it. Right? I mean, you can lie and still get it. We don't know. You can add it to yourself. Or God can add it to you. His way. So it's not just the presence of the stuff that tells you. And he said, he went on to say, Jesus answered again. He expounds on what he meant by that. He said, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It's not the money. It's the heart. Didn't the Lord also say, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. The Lord didn't ask this man to take a vow of poverty and never have anything. What he asked him to do was trust him and follow him. And the man choked and refused to obey because of refusal to trust. Can you see this, friends? Now, we haven't digressed. The centurion said, I say to my servant, do this, he does it. I'm a man under authority. I follow orders. People under me follow orders. It takes a certain amount of trust to do that, especially when you don't understand.
Yeah.
Incomplete submission reveals incomplete trust. A refusal to obey is a failure to trust. And that's what he ran into. And you can see why the Lord put his finger on his money. Wasn't that he's opposed to money or things. He knew by the Spirit that this young man has all his faith and trust in his stuff. This is what helps him sleep at night. Is that he's got a lot of money. This is what makes him feel secure. This is what makes him feel good about his future. And the Lord didn't ask him to take a vow of poverty. He asked him to trust him and do what he told him to do and then come follow him. Could this young man have done this?
Yes.
How would he have come out? How would he have come out if he had done this? Would he have been broke the rest of his life? Would he have been miserable? Well, now, for one thing, how long has it been since that young man has left this earth? And his little stuff of no consequence for centuries and centuries now. Do you reckon he feels like he made the right choice? No. But we don't have to conjecture. We don't have to wonder about how he would have come out. Because the Bible tells us how he would have come out.
That's right.
There are scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture that says what would have happened to him.
And that concludes today's message by Brother Keith Moore. If you would like to listen to today's teaching in its entirety from the series, The Greatest Faith, you may visit our website at morelife.org. Click on the Word Supply button, then select Series for an alphabetical listing. You will also find additional information about this ministry, including an itinerary of upcoming meetings. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for More Life Now.